My apologies. Good evening. Good evening. I certainly appreciate Tom putting the song service together and everybody volunteering songs. I am not a sight reader song leader. So for those of you who are taking new songs on and trying to sing them, I really appreciate that. And thank you for doing that and benefiting us all tonight with your work. Thank you. Thank you. Tonight, I really expected there to be less time on the clock when I got up here. When Tom told me there were 16 songs, I thought I was going to be having about 45 seconds. But I did prepare a lesson based on a familiar passage where Paul is talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you would, go ahead and turn over there. Almost our entire lesson will come from 1 Timothy 4. And what Paul is doing here, he's warning this young minister, this young preacher. He's a preacher in Ephesus, and there are things that are going to happen in that congregation he needs to be aware of. In fact, Paul says that the Spirit expressly, in the first verse of that chapter, tells him that some will depart from the faith, talks about the fact of the sins and the different things that they will commit and the different things they will teach and how he's to guard against them. So right after that, Paul says this. He says, don't let anyone despise your youth. And we've heard several sermons on that idea, and they're great sermons to do. Because certainly, young people in the congregation, and we witnessed that tonight, have things to give. The truth of God is the truth of God. If I have a 35-year-old man, or I think of that as a young man, let's say a 25-year-old man who knows the truth and preaches the truth, and I have a 65-year-old man who's one of these that's abstaining from foods and telling people they can't be married, which one should I listen to? Which one should make sure that they're getting through? The young man who has the truth, really the man who has the truth no matter their age. And what I always say when I do this sermon is, the verse says, let no one despise your youth. And I tell young people, you're one of those people. Don't despise your own youth. Because a lot of times young people can waste their lives doing things that they should not and wind up in their mid-30s or mid-40s and going, well, what happened? Churches need young people. If you're 15 or 16 or 18 or 22 or 25 and you're thinking, oh, the church can get by without me. No, we cannot. It encourages people in ways that I will never encourage someone standing up here to preach the way a 15-year-old will. Right? Because when they see that 15-year-old get up there who maybe it's their first time, maybe the second or third time, and they've never done it before and they're getting out there, the encouragement that is to people, you can't really equal that any other way. So tonight, I want to talk about letting us not despise our youth, our middle age, and yes, I tried to be as kind as I could with these words, or our senior years. Let's make sure we don't have the opposite attitude. Well, that's for the young people. I've retired from the church, and the young people can do all those things. Just as young people can despise their own youth, those of us who are middle-aged or senior years don't need to let that be despised either. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, we'll read verse 12 first, and then we'll read verses 6 through 11. So this is the conclusion, and then we'll back up and explain what Paul is talking about. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So we're going to take that verse in two halves. We're going to talk about the first half of it, and then we'll come back to the second half, much like we did this morning. So let no one despise your youth. That's what he tells us. Well, what is he saying that we need to put before the brothers? If you look at verse 6, the beginning of this discussion that ends up with the, no one despise your youth, it starts like this. Verse 6 of the same chapter, we'll read down through 11. If you put these things, and we'll back up and talk about that, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe, command and teach these things. What he's talking about is warning people about the people that are going to teach things that are sinful. Notice that Paul here says, the Spirit expressly says, if you go up to verse 1, that's how he introduces the chapter. The Spirit expressly says that some will fall away from the faith. Now, there were lots of sermons about what that means and what this the word apostasy. You may have heard that word in conjunction with this lesson. To apostatize is just to fall away. But these are the things that Paul has said that Timothy, not letting anyone despise his youth, should teach for sure. To beware of these things. To put them for the brothers and say, look out for these things. These are sinful things. These are wrong. What are they? He says they will be liars. He says their teaching comes from demons. He says they'll be motivated by demons. They'll forbid marriage and declare foods to be sinful. So Paul is saying there are specific things you have to look out for because these people will teach them and in so doing lead others away and even churches away from the Lord. So with that in mind, what does he mean by let no one despise your youth? He's telling Timothy, if you have the truth, even if it's one man in the truth against 100 with false teaching, you don't be ashamed to stand. Don't be ashamed to stand. The power is not in the man. Listen to me about this. The power is not in you. If you think, well, I can't teach, it's okay. If you think, I can't preach or I can't do those things. When you teach the gospel, if you merely read the Bible, in fact, Paul says later in the same chapter, give yourself to the public reading of Scripture. If you can just sit down with someone and say, let's read our Bibles. The Bible will lead you where you need to go. Not in a miraculous way, but the Bible is presented in such a way, it's the inspired Word of God. It has power that you and I do not have. Let's say you pick Galatians. Let's say you went to a friend of yours and say, let's just read the Bible. Let's just read Galatians. Guess what's going to happen to you when you get to Galatians chapter 3? You're going to come upon teaching that's going to lead them in the direction of being a Christian or not. At some point, they're going to have to say, well, am I an heir with Abraham? Well, if I'm not an heir with Abraham, what keeps me from being an heir with Abraham? And you know what Galatians 3:27 says. All of you have been baptized into Christ, have been baptized into Abraham. That's how we get into Abraham, is through baptism. So I don't have to know, anything. I don't have to have a teaching plan. I just read my Bible. If I'm willing to do those things, the power is in the Word, not in the man. Does it matter if I'm 25 and I read it to him or I'm 65 and I read it to him? No. The Word of God has power because the Word of God has power. So he's telling us not to to let anyone despise our youth if we're young. And certainly we need to make sure that we do the same thing as we get older. Well, the second half of this verse I want to deal with now. We're all familiar with the idea of let no one despise your youth. Look at what he does tell them to do. He says, set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Now, if he's telling Timothy to do that as a young person, how much more so should I as a middle-aged person or should someone as a senior person take that even more seriously? If Paul expects a young person to set as an example, why is it that I cannot? Turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 6. I said earlier that churches need young people. Churches need people of all ages. We'll finish up talking about Titus chapter 2 here in just a minute if you're familiar with that text. But we're going to look at Romans chapter 12 because Paul here does not make a distinction between young or old. He doesn't start this verse and say, well, now this is just for the young people. Nor does he start it and say, these are just for the middle age or for the older. Everybody has an obligation to set an example. Wherever we are, to set an example. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Romans chapter 12, we'll read verses 6 through 8. As we go through this, I want you to listen for the key words, and that is use them. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Those are simple things. Do you ever think of contributing or exhorting as big deals in the church? They're big deals in the church. We should set an example in those things. If I want the young people to be friendly, if I want the young people to hand out visitors' cards, if I want the young people to write visitors' cards, if I want the young people to shake hands and make sure they call and encourage and write cards to people, well then, guess who needs to be the example? Me. You think about it, we know this with our children. We don't think of our children and go, well, I guess they'll just figure it out. I guess we'll just turn the TV on and whatever SpongeBob or whatever it is they're watching these days. I don't know. Don't just tell me later. Well, whatever those things are, just let them raise them. We would never do that. When we men, particularly when we think of ourselves getting ready for services in the morning and services tonight and Wednesday night, we know we're setting an example for our children. So if we know that we're setting an example for our physical children, shouldn't we want to set an example for our spiritual ones? So don't let anyone despise the youth. Don't let anyone despise the middle age. Don't let anyone despise the elderly. We all have a role to fill. And the key thing there is let us use them. Whatever the gifts, whatever the things are that we can do, let us use them. I'll brag on Jim LeHue a little bit. Jim LeHue is just over 45 years old. I know this because Brenda's 10 years younger. I can always remember the difference. But I will tell you something. He outworks us all. He embarrasses us all in a lot of ways. He's a good example of a man who's, in fact, probably does too much from time to time, to be honest with you. So, but he's setting us an example. People can look to people like that and say, well there's someone who he's dedicated to doing things to the Lord. He's at the building two or three times a week. He's doing this, he's doing that. What am I doing? What am I doing as a young man, as a middle-aged man? If that gentleman can do it, why can't I? If that gentle lady can do those things, why can't I? So it is important that we learn as young people, but it is just important that the middle-aged and the aged, or the senior, the seasoned, make sure that they set a good example. And Paul deals with this in Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. This is our last verse for the day. We're going to read it through and talk about it just briefly. Don't listen to anything I say. Listen to the words of Paul. I said earlier in this lesson, I have no power, and I do have no power. The word of God has power, though. Just as Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, that the Spirit says, you can rest assured that when Paul writes this to Titus in chapter 2, it's the same being. This is the Spirit of God directing this teaching. So what does he say? Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about you. Now, those are the words of God. Is anyone in here that's, let's say, over 15 years old excluded from what he said there? There's something in there for all of us. Am I doing those things? Am I setting an example? Am I doing the kind of things that I want the younger generation to do? I do a sermon based on a quote that says, if it's going to be, it's up to me. And I believe that in a lot of ways. If it's going to be, it's up to me. Well, I tell you what, if the future church is going to be the church we want it to be, guess when the example has to be set? Now. If young people see me come in and I'm not doing my part and I'm just showing up on Sunday mornings about 10:02 and leaving about 10:59, or really, let's say 11:03. So let's say that that's when we're getting out and I'm out the door before you can even say bye. Guess what kind of church we'll have in 20 years? Frankly, we probably won't have a church because nobody's showing up in time to start leading the singing and doing the prayer. So in all those ways, we are to set an example. So what is the lesson tonight? It's simple. Go read Titus chapter 2. Go read Romans chapter 12 and do that. Do that. Just as there is a way every young man can fit into the worship service, just as a way there's every young woman can find their way into the service of the church, there is some way I can serve, there's some way I can set an example. There's some way I can serve, there's some way I can set an example. As we go through our week, let's do that. One bonus sermon, I was struggling between two sermons, and I'll give you this one real quick. Pray and read. I was talking to a young man who asked me about learning how to pray. And we'll talk about that with him individually, but I will tell you this, do it. If you haven't prayed today, when you leave this auditorium, pray. If you haven't read today, and hopefully you've read today, read. If Monday afternoon at 2 o'clock you haven't prayed or read, stop and pray and read. Let's do that this week. Let's pray and read. That's your bonus sermon. And let's set a good example. We all have a part to play. That's our lesson. Are you a Christian? If you're not a Christian, you're not in a saved state. God has determined who He will save. God will save those who believe. Those who believe and serve. Those who, as the old song says, trust and obey. If you don't trust in God enough yet, we need to teach the gospel to you. If you do trust enough and you haven't made the decision, why not tonight? If you become a Christian, you've fallen away. You're not serving like you should. Maybe you've slipped into sin. Sin has gotten a hold of your life and you're having a hard time getting out of it. And it can be difficult. And you need someone to hold your hand and struggle and pray with you. If we can help you in either way, come forward as we stand and we sing.